Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we're going to talk about the WWE Super Show that took place on October 6th, the fallout from that show. There's a wrestler who I hate, and if we have some time, WWE put a list of their top SmackDown superstars, and that list is incorrect, and I'm mildly offensive. Each week, you can listen to the Inside the Ropes podcast on the 985thesportshub.com website and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all of the original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcast and Google Podcast. So, Mike, the lead story, it's actually me. I'm doing an appearance with Seth Rollins on October 21st from noon to 2 at the Xfinity store in Somerville. I'm stoked about it. I'm very excited about it. I hope everybody will come out and check me out. And, oh, by the way, there's a WWE superstar who's the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion.
Well, yeah, congratulations to you, Jimmy. That was the big tease, if you will, last week, and finally able to reveal that. That's an awesome opportunity for you there with Seth Rollins. Tell everyone again where that's going to be in Somerville.
It's at the Xfinity store, and the address I'll put out on my Twitter account. But it's the Xfinity store, and it's one of those Somerville pop-up malls. I think it's Xfinity Comcast. It's all the same. It's noon to 2, October 21st. Seth Rollins, myself, Sports Hub Street Team, will be with me and with Seth, and we'll go. We'll have a good time. You know, if you want to take pictures, I'm happy to do it. No charge for me. It's free. It's first come, first serve for pictures and autographs.
They're all there to see you, Jimmy, so that's a big thing.
The lead story is the WWE Super Show. It happened on Saturday. I didn't wake up at 5 a.m. for it. I woke up as the AJ Styles Samoa Joe WWE Championship match was beginning. So I watched that live, and then I watched kind of the rest of the show live. That match was excellent. I'm a fan of both those competitors, but I want to start with the main event. Triple H versus The Undertaker, their final battle, and that's me putting up quotation fingers there. I typed this as the match happened, all caps, that sucked.
As the match happened.
As the match was ending. Of course, Triple H has to put him over The Undertaker. Honestly, I bet Undertaker suggested it, or right now it looks like it's to lead to the just-announced tag team match with Shawn Michaels and Triple H against Undertaker and Kane at the next Saudi Arabia show.
Yep.
This match had toys and slow build and continuation from their previous matches. I still think the WrestleMania 28 match in Miami, Hell in a Cell, was better, but my bias is I was there. I think both characters were kind of shaky gray. They both had their dark side. They both had their good side. I wanted to have a clean, clear-cut winner. I felt like The Undertaker, for storyline purposes, wanted the same, and Triple H just kind of wanted to win. I didn't like the finish of this match. I really didn't like the match. Mike, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's these guys both haven't been in the ring since WrestleMania. So Triple H, you know, that was the best match of that Mania. This year, that mixed one, Undertaker only fought for 5 minutes. Again, not super impressed. Wasn't expecting, didn't have high expectations with the physicality of both of these superstars going into it. You know, it was just the names. That's all it was. And that's what we kind of knew it was all about. And the WWE built it up with last time ever. And you and I talked about this. It's not even a rival. It never really was for me. Never one of Triple H's greatest rivals or Undertaker's greatest rivals for that matter, too.
What I actually found interesting is WWE posted a good chunk of Triple H Undertaker matches on the network. And Triple H won more of those matches than I thought.
WrestleMania, he lost all of them. We know that.
Yeah, but there were some. There was an international pay-per-view match that he won. There was this match on SmackDown he won. So Triple H, it wasn't as one-sided as I had thought it was.
Right.
But they tweeted out or they Instagrammed some statistic that had been like 9 years since Triple H had beaten The Undertaker.
Yep.
Which isn't as impressive a number because The Undertaker only wrestles like twice a year.
Yeah, and does he have to be out there every week? No, it's a name, it's a draw, and that's all it is. And Triple H, too.
It's an attraction. He's an attraction, Mike.
Well, Triple H, I mean, his logo, too, the logo for the T-shirts that he's selling, that's a pretty cool one. So that helps, too. He's a CEO. He's in phenomenal shape. Not impressed with the match. I'm with you there. But you just knew this was going to happen with the Shawn Michaels thing and Kane, and that's what it sets up for Saudi Arabia. Again, to use your term there, attraction, Jimmy, attraction, four big superstars in the same ring. This time they're actually going to go at it in a tag team match. So that's going to happen there. And I'm sticking to it. I am staying to my ground here that you're going to see Undertaker and Shawn at WrestleMania. It's going to happen. I think this is a little tune-up for both of them to, you know, get the reps in again together. And I think that's going to happen, two legends down the line. But not impressed with the match overall in Australia. Show, though, pretty good.
Show was really good. I will say this. I think you're going to see – I think you're going to be at least partially right, Mike. I think Taker and Shawn is going to happen in April of 2019.
Okay.
But I have to wonder if it's the Saudi Arabia show.
Gosh,
and not New York.
Yeah. Well, keep pushing this. I mean – you know, and this is what I want to talk about, too, at the beginning of my opening take here was that, you know, these international shows, look at what we've had this month. We've had Australia. So you don't have a pay-per-view with everyone in the United States. It's in Australia. Yes, you do have Evolution coming up, but that's the all-female show. And then the next big one where everyone will be together is the Survivor Series.
Far as the States go.
Thank you, because Saudi Arabia, you cannot have the females over there. So it's a money-making opportunity for the WWE. It's working. I think the product they're putting out there for the shows is much better than what you see on a week-to-week basis on Raw and SmackDown right now. I'm not really impressed with the Monday and Tuesday shows currently, but the Super Show, very good, very pleased with it. And I think the Crown Jewel has a good opportunity to – you know, make some noise there, especially a week after Evolution, Jimmy.
Well, and just back to the finish of the actual match for a second, because I guess in my mind, I like a clean finish to end a program, and obviously this is now not the end of this program.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of ECW One Night Stand in 06, I think it was. And mm-hmm. at the time, it was going to be Lance Storm's final match, and it was against Chris Jericho, who he had his first match again. And Lance Storm cheated to win, and Joey Styles on commentary said, quote, "That's kind of a crappy way to win your final match against your best friend," unquote.
Yep.
Or something. I might be paraphrasing that, but that was the idea of the comment. And I thought, like, in a world of clean finishes, and I think Undertaker storyline wise wanted one, I wanted to see the conclusion of this in that manner, and I didn't get it. So maybe it will come again, because the end of an era at WrestleMania in Miami wasn't really the end of an era. They pushed it forward and pushed it off a little bit. But
right.
I do have a developing opinion.
Let's hear it.
And it's something that I think I've subconsciously known for a while, but it popped up to the forefront of something that I think I need to make clear.
Okay.
I hate the wrestler Triple H. I've never met Triple H, or if I have, I don't remember it, but I don't hate him personally.
Yep.
But
him in the ring.
I hate the performer Triple H, which ultimately means he wins.
Yeah.
He's the villain. I totally dislike Triple H, the wrestler, and mm-hmm. just to kind of the history, right? The background as to why I've developed this, right?
Okay.
His feud with Mick, feud with The Rock, feud with Steve Austin. He dumps on Booker T in a documentary around WrestleMania 19 in Seattle. I'm cheering for him to lose at WrestleMania 20. His program with Cena, his matches with Taker, CM Punk. I'm cheering for Brock Lesnar to beat him in their programs. I'm cheering for Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kurt Angle in three straight WrestleManias that I'm live at.
Yep.
I hated Triple H being John Cena in Saudi Arabia a few months ago.
Right.
And I guess that leads me to, I'm Triple H's bitch as far as hating him, the wrestler. I'm an anti-Triple H, Mark. And now I have to live with this.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm with you there. Like, I wouldn't listen. Hate's a strong word,
and that's why I'm being clear. I hate the performer, which is what he wants me to do. Is hate him, the performer.
Now, do I respect Triple H? Of course, I do. He's excellent, phenomenal shape, excellent shape as a performer. Though,
well, you know, he's not in the program. You know,
well, yeah, that's for sure.
He's an exempt.
This is true, but.
Which, by the way, I'm not saying is a bad thing.
No,
I personally like my athletes on performance enhancing things.
This is true. This is, and it works, and it worked for the great home run race 20 years ago. But you know, in this situation, I've never really been sold on him in the ring too. Like, it just I still have a problem with.
Well, Mike, he described Booker T in that WrestleMania 19 documentary as a hit or miss wrestler, and it's something we've talked about. He has hit or miss matches. I thought the match with Undertaker was a miss.
It was a miss, but again, you know, maybe on the personal standpoint here, me and Triple H, I still have a problem with the whole China stuff, the way he married himself into the company, worked his way up, and everything. It's just the fact of the matter. I mean, that's what happened. It's where he is.
There's a great off-air story that I need to share with you the next time we see each other about.
Okay, sounds good. All right, looking forward to that. But it's just like I'm not sold on him either. He doesn't do it for me. He's just the same crap over and over, and he still wants to get in the ring. That's evident, and he's with his best friend Shawn Michaels next month, so it's going to work. I mean, they're going to be able to work together, and they're making money off the damn thing, so they got to do it. That's why they're going ahead with this. But will I be heavily invested to see him? Oh, there's Triple H with the pedigree. Oh, here he is. Look at that move. Absolutely not. No way. Will I be drawn to see him because of the name and who he's with and who he's fighting against? Yes. But to see him as a performer, no.
So one of my friends, I exchanged some text messages about this to kind of vet out the take.
Let's hear it.
Quote, this is from my friend. I think Triple H booked a long match on purpose to show he can go and Undertaker can't. I think Triple H wants to have Undertaker level of fame. I think the fact that he doesn't makes him resent anyone who does, and he unconsciously wants to make them look bad, or consciously. So
interesting point. Interesting point.
And kind of my response to that is, Triple H is essentially an owner of the company, right?
Yep.
He runs NXT. So why does he need to make another performer look bad?
I mean, is this what he's doing, burying people? Does he want to be the guy? Does he want to be, you know, better than The Undertaker? It's an ego thing. Got to be an ego thing. I mean,
he's already won. Like, he makes the decisions.
To touch on the point there of the guy on the text message, though, that's ego-driven. That's all this is. And, yes, he does make the decisions. He's got all the power. He calls the shots, but he just wants to be no. Look, I mean, how many times has he been world champion? What is it, 15, 14?
Yeah, it's 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that ballpark, yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's insane.
And he main-evented a WrestleMania in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah, and that match
sucked
too.
And I don't think he really belonged in that spot, but I know what they were trying to do as far as getting Roman to where they wanted.
Right, and he main evented it, won the Royal Rumble. It's a classic ego thing, and it has shown over the years. And back to your point there with the whole Mick thing, Mick Foley, you know, Foley went all out there with that rival. We talked about Triple H's greatest rivals over the years a couple of weeks ago, but thinking more about that there, like, Foley deserved a better push against Triple H. He deserved to be champion more. And Triple H absolutely buried him. And just in that instant there, that momentum has carried over time where he's the guy that makes the call there. However, though, in the WrestleMania moments with The Undertaker and in this Australia show, it wasn't the case. But I think that's where he wants to be the guy, to your friend's point.
Well, and I think one of the – when you think of the Attitude Era big stars,
mm-hmm.
you think of DX Triple H, right?
Correct.
You don't think of the game Triple H or Evolution Triple H. You think
Absolutely
of DX
not.
Triple H.
No.
And maybe that's what bothers him.
Yeah.
But what I would tell him is that moment has passed.
Move on.
You can't go back and recreate that. And I go back to, you're running NXT, which most fans love. I would say a high percentage of fans love. You have control of that.
Yep.
You have creative say on the main roster stuff.
You're going to take over the company when Vince passes.
And you're going to take over the company once Vince passes.
Yep.
So what are we doing trying to overexpose The Undertaker?
Right. And I mean,
or is this just the Triple H plotting plunder match now?
And yeah, in that instant, yes, to plot that, yeah. But I'm basing it on that text message exchange you had there. Ego driven. But this is where, and maybe that's what Triple H is so good at too, Jimmy. Like, he makes you want to see him again, or he'll put over. Or make someone look bad where you want that match again, which we're going to get, Undertaker and Kane. But this time you get Shawn Michaels in there too with Triple H. So, yeah, he made Taker look bad, so you're going to get him again, but partnered up this time.
I would love to tell you, by the way, that text message was from somebody in the industry, but I don't think I can tell you that.
I'm sold on it. I love it. Love it.
Mike, what was your what's your big story right now?
Oh, just, I mean, what I was saying before with the whole international shows here, how successful it's been for the WWE. I mean, you get Australia this month, and then we have Evolution coming up at the end of this month, and now Saudi Arabia in less than a month away. But the problem is here, the problem I think, though, Jimmy, is that with all of these shows, we really not able to focus on too much of the upcoming show. And what I mean by that, we already knew some of the matches for Crown Jewel before it's even taking place, and then before the Australia show was complete. Let's focus on that first. And I understand with the Evolution aspect of it, because of the all-female one, you can't send them to Saudi Arabia. You have to start promoting those matches now. Totally makes sense. But let's stick to one show at a time. We already knew about the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns situation for Saudi Arabia. Now you push it after Australia. Don't do it before Australia because it loses a little bit of that spotlight there. Again, maybe I'm contradicting myself because you know Brock's going to be there. But the fact that I just think Australia deserved more of a spotlight than what it got because we have to see the promotion already starting for Saudi Arabia.
Do you think that they are doing more of these international shows because so that they can say they've got 70,000 people in a building rather than they go to Pittsburgh, they get 10,000, which is 5,000 short of a sellout, or right. They come to X location and it's not sold out. So Australia wants to pay for us to go there for, you know, a few days and we can get 70,000 in a building. Saudi Arabia wants to give us $45 million. Just to walk in the door. That might be why they're doing more of these international pay-per-views, is the money worldwide is better than the money locally.
It's a big part of it, total big part. And, you know, Australia had, what, 70,000, 72,000 fans, I believe?
That number sounds right, but it's better than 10,000.
Much better.
At the arena in Orlando.
Right, exactly. And, you know, also too, Jimmy, like those fans don't get the luxury to see the WWE as much as the United States, the home base here. I know they do their European tour at least once a year, but this is still a huge opportunity. So you have the chance to cash in like that with all the money being thrown at them and to get everyone out there. Yes, money driven. And you know what? In the end, it's been a good product.
I think the international shows have been really good.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's been better than some of the pay-per-views. You like that idea too?
Yeah.
So you're on board. You'd like to see more international shows.
I just want to see good quality product of wrestling from, because Hell in a Cell was good. That wasn't international, but the last international show was good too.
Yep.
So I want to see good. I want to see good shows.
Right.
And I don't care where it is.
Right.
Would I like to have had a pay-per-view in Boston? Of course I would.
Yeah.
But we're getting a loaded house show.
It's good. It's gonna be a good one. A week from Sunday.
So.
The other thing too, Jimmy, maybe I don't think it's going to happen for at least 2 years, but I wouldn't be surprised testing the water with all of these international shows. And we've seen the bids for the cities for WrestleMania. If WrestleMania goes international for the first time,
I think they want to do Wembley Stadium.
in a couple of years.
Yeah, I know that they wanted to do the Tokyo Dome at one point.
Yep.
But the the time difference is just too much for them to overcome.
Well, last time they did it was SummerSlam 92. That was the big one of the big five there, more or less, you know?
Wembley Stadium, they get 82,000, Bret Hart, British Bulldog.
Right, exactly, and it worked. So I think that's the long-term plan here, WrestleMania International.
So the WWE Championship match for the Saudi Arabia show is all set. AJ Styles made Samoa Joe tap out. Daniel Bryan flash pinned Miz. So it'll be AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan. I love the Joe AJ match. I've loved the program. The Miz Bryan program to me has been a bit of a letdown. And I saw people on social media hating the finish of the Miz Bryan match. Mm-hmm. And I think that WWE is just still trying to condition fans that match can end at any time for any reason.
Correct.
We saw Bryan and Miz have kind of a longer match at SummerSlam, and there didn't seem to be a lot of fan investment in that match as it was happening. Here, the match went less than 3 minutes, and the fans, at least on the internet, were upset.
Right.
I get that it's a case-by-case basis on all this stuff where fans loved Goldberg beating Brock in 90 seconds and they've seemed to hate Jeff Hardy losing to Nakamura in 10 seconds and Bryan beating Miz with a flash pin, but I think WWE is trying to make a concerted effort to keep people off of their cell phones because right. they think that a match is going to go 15, 20 minutes and I don't have to tune in immediately. I think right. they're trying to recondition their fans.
Oh, no, and that makes perfect sense. You know, just to touch on the AJ Styles and the Miz situation too, Jimmy, we did get a Twitter question on that. I just want to throw this out there. This is a good one from Jedi Boston. With AJ beating Joe again and the Miz-Bryan rivalry clearly about to enter the WWE Championship picture in the next few months heading towards WrestleMania, who eventually will beat AJ Styles, and do they want him to surpass Punk's reign?
So yes, I think they do. I think that they want to get AJ to 435. I think that happens
January
15th, I think it was, but it's before the Royal Rumble.
Correct. Correct.
I think that they are positioning the Miz to be that guy and have the Miz walk into WrestleMania either as the challenger to AJ Styles or as the WWE champion. Maybe you have the Miz win the Royal Rumble in Arizona at Chase Field, and then he challenges AJ Styles, because if it's going to be The Rock who challenges Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, you don't need a Royal Rumble win there for The Rock.
Correct. It's the name's too big enough as it is.
As far as the Daniel Bryan AJ match, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to end up being a one-off program, a one-off singles match. I think they'll probably have Samoa Joe do some sort of run-in, disrupt it, and then you can bring it back as a three-way match for Survivor Series if you want, if you're not going to do AJ Styles against the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, whoever it may be.
And if you're not going to give Samoa Joe the championship, say, at Royal Rumble, or even the WrestleMania, as you were saying, with The Miz, you could push him again for next year at SummerSlam.
Right. Absolutely. No,
get him set up for that.
But
so,
the Miz kind of strikes me as
he's next.
When you look at the Miz title reigns and you see that he's got one, you're like, that doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. It's a very underappreciated that title reign he had. And unfortunately too, Jimmy, that was one of the worst WrestleManias of all time, WrestleMania 27.
You don't have to preach that to me. the best match on the show was Randy Orton versus CM Punk that year. Yep. And I know people will be like, oh, this is Undertaker, Triple H. I didn't like that match.
But I thought it was good.
But I hate Triple H, the wrestler, so there's that.
Yeah, understood. Understandable. So didn't mean to get off track, but I just wanted to touch on that point with the AJ Styles, Samoa Joe situation.
No, it's a good thing, and whereas they're closing in on yet another record, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
CM Punk beat them in a lawsuit. They want to get CM Punk off their books completely.
Correct.
Because once Triple H takes over the company, that'll never happen. Although I don't think CM Punk ever wants to come back, and we've discussed as to why that might happen.
Yeah, he's out, and that ship certainly sailed.
Absolutely. Other things that I kind of noticed, Mike, did you have any other observations before I kind of scatter through mine?
Well, I don't know if you saw in the New York Post, you see the Undertaker comment with Andre the Giant?
Yes, I did. But if you want to explain for everybody what it was.
Yeah, just very briefly on it, Undertaker actually did a shoot interview. I saw part of it, 37 minutes. But the whole point was that the Andre the Giant took to the grave that he wanted to fight the Undertaker at one point before he died. And obviously that never happened. But I think that would have been a pretty good match. And this was when Undertaker arrived back in 1990. And instead, he got Giant Gonzalez. So,
well, Andre wasn't in shape to work.
No, but it's still a name right there, and the fact
and it's arguably the two best big men in the history of WWF.
How cool would that have been?
It would have been great. And thank God they have a video game where you can actually play it out.
Not bad, huh?
2K so, Sports, if you want to sponsor the podcast, slots are available for.
I love it. We'll have to call the boss man on that one. I thought there was a cool little side story I saw this week. And, you know, it just, you see the two big men and the names like that, two giants in the industry. It really stuck out at me. So a little interesting tidbit right there for you.
Going back to the Australia show for a second, I thought Becky and Charlotte had a really strong match. I still would have liked a jumpstart finish by either woman, but they had another fabulous match, the in-ring story, a DQ finish, which is going to lead to the SmackDown rematch, which will probably end with Becky retaining the championship somehow. And it's going to set up what I think is going to be a match and the main event of Evolution, the women's pay-per-view. Really, it should be. It continues to be the best story that WWE has going on TV right now.
Right.
Of course, I want Charlotte to be the champion because of my bias. but if Becky keeps it at the end of the program, I won't object to it at all.
No.
Becky is coming out of this a bigger star than she was going into it. And we've talked about this. You and I love Becky Lynch. We think she's fabulous. We think she's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. But now the casual fan hopefully is more exposed to Becky Lynch than they were before.
Yeah, and again, you know, you keep seeing when she's out there with Charlotte that everyone's cheering for Becky and, you know, just still refusing to do this whole double turn here. Not going to happen. Boo the woo, that's the new hashtag, which is kind of cool, and it's taken off. You know, so I think there's so much opportunity there where you could make Becky the face because she is getting the cheers and Charlotte's getting the boo. But those are your top two women right now on the SmackDown roster. And it is a great program. Very, very good. Carrying it, the best friend angle. And you're going to get it again at Saudi Arabia, like you said, Jimmy. And likely at
Evolution.
Evolution. Then probably Saudi Arabia too. They'll throw something in there.
They're not allowed there.
Excuse me. Can we please delete that? That was a mistake of the year.
It happens.
Thank you. Evolution, and then you're going to get it, excuse me, not Survivor Series, but the TLC coming up in December, where you're going to get a cage match or a...
You think they're going to... See, I think they could do the cage match at the Evolution pay-per-view, but if they get to TLC, it's a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
I was going to say something along
and I'd be interested
like
to see if they can stretch it that long.
Maybe do like a triple three stages of hell thing again with those three. That would be it. That might be it for it, you know, because it's going to run its course. It started at SummerSlam, more or less, and now it's going to, I don't know, you may be able to carry it into the Royal Rumble. You could. But I'd say that would probably do it by the end of the year at the tables, ladders, and chairs. I would love to see a three stage match, a best two out of three falls, something like that. It works.
Well, I think if they end up doing Charlotte and Becky at Evolution, that you're going to see some type of two out of three falls, submission, Iron Man, woman match,
cage
match, something like that.
Something big.
But it should fit the story. And my only slight criticism is that if these two former best friends really hate each other, they shouldn't be having the classic Matt wrestling match. There should be a jump finish somewhere, or a jump start, I should say. And there should be a little bit more, like Becky should have cheated to win the title.
Right.
Or, you know, the DQ finish in Australia made sense because it was Becky just trying to hang on.
Right.
So more of that. But Charlotte was recently on Lillian Garcia's podcast, Chasing Glory, and she was asked about the boos and the boos versus the cheers. And her answer is one that's been common through WWE, is that as long as I'm getting a reaction, that's what I care about.
And it works. It is working. So, you know, I would love to see this go for a little while longer, but just like anything, Jimmy, these rivals don't last forever in the whole storyline because it will lose its course. So we'll see how long it goes.
A few other kind of notes from the Australia show. They did a finish in the six-woman match where Ronda Rousey did a double stack armbar. I thought that was a really cool finish.
That was awesome.
The cruiserweight match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
205 Live, I admit I have not been watching every episode. Everybody tells me that it's great. I only have so much time in my life. But Cedric Alexander's been a top wrestler for a few years now, so I'm glad that he's gotten a run on WWE. And the hometown hero, Murphy, Buddy Murphy.
For Australia,
getting the big win was awesome. Mm-hmm. The Iconics getting a big win was awesome. One detail that I noticed with the Shield versus Braun Strowman and Dolph and Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Actually, there were a few details in this match that I really loved. I'm a fan of the Shield entrance as a whole.
Okay.
And WWE has been... I love that entrance. I love how they come through the crowd with the mask.
No,
it's awesome. It's just something that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
So WWE has been teasing a Dean Ambrose turn for a little while now.
Yep.
And it was either Michael Cole or Corey Graves who asked Renee Young, who is the real life wife of Dean Ambrose.
Correct.
About if Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins should trust Dean. And her answer was along the lines of, Dean is the most loyal person I've ever met in my life. And I thought it was a really good detail that WWE played the real life into their story.
Right.
And how they kind of closed the loop was how they did the finish of that match, which was Roman Reigns saving Dean Ambrose from Braun Strowman, and then Seth Rollins saving Dean Ambrose from a double team finish. And then Dean got the win, and it really tied the story together. And at least in the short term has kind of silenced the, oh, when is Dean Ambrose turning crowd?
Right. I mean, he's the obvious choice to, you know, have it turn. And, you know, another Twitter question we had from our man Carl, Jimmy, who we know pretty well, he did ask, when do you see a Shield breakup happening and by who? And, yeah, it does seem like Dean is the obvious guy to have it happen. But I don't know. I don't think this breakup is going to happen until at least after the Survivor Series. I mean, they're selling the merchandise. That's a big thing. We know that with the logo and, you know, the unification for them again after the year apart. I'd say until at least the end of the year they have this run. And then you have them go, you know, maybe eliminate one another at the Royal Rumble, wherever, man for himself. You can play off of that there. But I think it's going to be intact until at least December for the Shield before it breaks up. But Dean is the obvious one to turn. And that's a tease. I know what Renee Young says, being the loyal guy, but it makes you think, like, okay, what's going on here? That's a red flag.
I still think that the main event for WrestleMania in New York should be a three-way Shield match, but I don't know that we're going to necessarily get that. By the way, I do have to mention that Seth Rollins was awesome in this match, and that I'm doing an appearance with Seth Rollins on Sunday, October 21st from noon to 2 at the Xfinity Store in Somerville.
Shameless plug. I wish I could join you, Jimmy, but I got to be with Bruce Pritchard.
I know. I understand. I would be there right with you, but I ditched you for this gig.
That's all good, baby.
Because that's the type of selfish person that I am.
Well, you're an only child.
That's exactly the reason for it. one other detail, and this will be the last point on the Australia show.
All right. Can't wait for this.
It looks like we're going to do the SmackDown list next week based on time constraints.
That's fun.
When John Cena came to the ring, mm-hmm. Michael Cole said, quote, "John Cena is the greatest of all time," unquote. Mike Riley, do you agree with him?
Hold on one second. He also said it after John Cena was done on the microphone. He said it not once, but twice. Do I agree with him? No. He's definitely top 10. He may even be top 6 for me. He's right up there, but he's not number 1. Number 1 of our generation? Okay, of this current generation. And, you know, to compare it with kind of what, let's look at the Patriots situation here. 20 years together, just about. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft. It works. Almost 20 years, John Cena in the WWE, the face of the company. The guy that's been the one that's carried the torch. He has been, you know, the name. He's been the WWE. It's worked, but he doesn't have to be there every week anymore. He even said that, that WWE will always be his home on the microphone. I really thought that last year after that match with he and Roman Reigns, I think it was at the Hell in the Cell, remember that? He got right on the post show saying what he did tonight for Roman Reigns, passing the torch to him. That was a big step. That was kind of the big foreshadow for me. Like, yeah, this he's about to be part-timer. This is it. And he's definitely in the back nine of his career in the ring. Not taking anything away from John Cena, 16-time world champion, phenomenal, best of our generation, not the greatest of all time. I gotta go. You gotta go Hulk Hogan. You know, even the old Bruno Sammartino's up there for people. Those are the two obvious ones, but not Stone Cold Steve Austin, obviously. The Rock is in that conversation, but no, not the greatest.
So for me, John Cena is the greatest performer of the last 15 years.
That's what I was saying.
And I'm emphasizing your point, Mike.
Yep.
Of all time, I go Hogan, Flair, Austin, yep. Rock, and then Cena. And I can make a case for Cena being as high as third, mainly because he was on top for longer than Austin and Rock.
Right.
And for at least about a 10-year run, John Cena was the number one merchandise mover in WWE, with the exception of a quarter or so that CM Punk was moving more merchandise. Mm-hmm. Cena's had strong matches on top. He's had the crowd has always been emotionally invested, whether he was doing the rapper thing or whether he was you weren't able to see him, whatever it is, John Cena always got that crowd reaction.
Correct.
And while Austin and Rock were at the top of the boom period for WWE, they did it in shorter stretches of time than John Cena has. So that's why I wouldn't put Cena third, but I can make a case for him to be third.
Yeah.
I think Ric Flair was the true, why I put Flair at two is because he was the true wrestling world champion for about 10 years in the NWA and WCW.
Sure.
And Hogan is the clear number one greatest performer of my 30 years of watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Because he drew major money. He drew eyes everywhere, both on the good side and the bad side. AWA, WWF, WCW. When he did the NWO, he came back for a run as WWE champion with The Rock. And just Hulk Hogan is the number one performer of my 30-something years of watching pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So John Cena, not the greatest of all time. He can be as high as third, I think, on some people's list. I put him at five.
You know, and just one more thing on Cena, too, not to take away from him, and a huge credit to him. You got to remember that, what did he debut in, 2001, 2002? Okay, right around that time there. This was at a time where Stone Cold Steve Austin was ready to walk into the sunset. The Rock was getting ready to go to Hollywood. When WWF had to change to WWE, it was a lot of turnover. And when they went public, you know, they changed down the rating from to a more PG, family-friendly. He kind of bridged that gap there. He bridged that gap, and he became the new face of the company. And again, this is why I'm saying not taking anything away from him to be in that conversation, which he is. But those guys, you hit the nail on the head, Jimmy. with Stone Cold and The Rock doing more in a short period amount of time. Hulk Hogan, number one, no doubt. Ric Flair. Cena is up there, but he's not the greatest. And again, what WWE is doing here, they want to make that draw, kind of like what they did with Triple H, saying that his greatest rival was The Undertaker. They got you and I talking about it. They got people pissed off about it. That's what they're doing.
Well, and I think, Mike, that this is what they were doing with Hulk Hogan, saying that he was the greatest professional athlete in the world, trying to get people that generation to forget about Bruno Sammartino.
Correct. Correct.
I think that's a part of it. John Cena's debut was June of 2002.
Okay.
Just so for those of us keeping score. So we won't be able to get to the list of SmackDown this week. Mike, anything you want to plug here?
I think we should plug this Saturday. You ready for this one, Jimmy?
Oh, yes.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South. He'll be at the Kowloon on Saturday, October 13th, and that'll be from 4 to 8 p.m., Route 1 North in Saugus. Get your tickets, or actually just show right up there, and going to be a good time. And then also next Sunday, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and tickets still available, 781-233-0077 at the Kowloon.
There are only a handful of those tickets left, by the way, for Bruce and Conrad, so...
Going to be good.
That's good news. And of course,
how about Seth Rollins? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm doing the Seth Rollins appearance in Somerville, noon to 2 o'clock, Xfinity Store. I'll tweet out the address. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page, 985thesportshub.com, and on 985 The Sports Hub's app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Next week, we will do the SmackDown list and what mildly offends me. We'll do News of the Week. If all comes out, we'll have an extra episode this weekend. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, my name is James Stewart. My Twitter handle is at IamJamesStewart. Mike, you want a closing word?
Jimmy, all I got to say is...
So that worked out well because your mic cut out at the end. Brilliant.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.